Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Always locked on Heat. Biscayne, South Beach. Goldberg and Ramil. Talking Heat, body chill.
You know.
Got the stats in the news.
Yeah.
Got the facts and the views.
Yeah.
Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Yeah. Pat Riles got the pack ride.
Yeah.
Coach Spo got the know-how.
Yeah.
Three bands in the raps now.
Yeah.
Heat Nation, that's a packed house.
Woo.
Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on Heat.
Yeah.
Got it locked on Heat.
Yeah.
Always locked on Heat.
Yeah.
Keep it locked on Heat.
Yeah.
Seat Geek for the cheek. What's the day got the heat?
And now, you're locked on Heat hopes.
Wes Goldberg and David
Let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil. Also joining us today, it's Haley O'Shaughnessy. She's an editorial assistant at The Ringer and a Heat fan. Haley, first of all, thanks for coming on. And second, are you the only Heat fan on The Ringer staff?
Okay, so actually I have a bit of bad news to start, and this might sour the entire relationship and podcast.
Perfect.
But actually, when we made that video, and it for those of you who don't know, at The Ringer, we made a video vouching for the teams that Jason Concepcion cut when he made a downsized version of the league. I just thought it was ridiculous that they cut the Heat because of all of your history. So I'm actually not a fan. I actually don't have an NBA team. I'm not a fan, though. But, I mean, I do watch a lot of games, so...
Wait.
Sorry to misinform
you
guys.
No, so hold on. I saw that. I was excited that there was a Heat fan on the Ringer staff because your boss is a huge Celtics fan. I never thought that he'd hire a Heat fan. I emailed you saying this, and then you totally just played it up as if you were a Heat fan just so you can get on the show?
I don't think you used the word Heat fan,
okay.
But yes, it's been my plan all along to get on this show. So it's finally worked. I'm finally here. But I will tell you guys this. I definitely vouch for the franchise.
You did.
I think that of all the expansion teams, like, it's ridiculous to say that Miami should be cut. It's like you can't punish a team for being successful, for entering the league and then literally winning three championships. So I am a supporter, I guess, in that way.
This completely changes everything, because I think our whole line of questioning was Heat-based under the assumption.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I'm ready to talk Miami.
It does sound like it might be our fault.
One question I'm curious about then to ask, and I think you can still answer despite not being a Heat fan, is the perception of the Miami Heat outside of South Florida. I don't know how often you've ever even been to South Florida, but Heat fandom can be a pretty insular world. I think most fan bases are like that, but perhaps South Florida, just because of the geographical nature of it, it can be somewhat remote, and you know, you can harbor some resentment towards other fan bases, especially because of what happened post 2010 after the decision and everything else. So,
right.
How is the perception of the Miami Heat outside of South Florida? Like, there's so much to wrap around that, but between the decision, the big three, Pat Riley, everything that's happened over the last 7 years from Chris Bosh to Dwayne Wade, how much of that kind of filters through, and what's your perception of that being on the outside?
So you mean more than just the perception of this current team? You mean just overall as a franchise?
Oh, yeah. As a franchise, everything that comes with it.
Well, I feel like, you know what, Miami always comes up in conversations for free agents.
Right.
So there's, you know, automatically the franchise enters itself into a bunch of conversations that, frankly, like if it was located elsewhere, it might not have as much business being in.
Okay.
But I think the outside perception is like, Pat Riley is so much fun. He knows what he's doing. You have one of the smartest coaches in Eric Spoelstra in the league. And quite frankly, like, yeah, the decision, I bet Cleveland will forever be mad at Miami even though now, you know, they have him back, if, even if that's temporary. I think that, you know, you guys produced one of the most fun teams in the last decade. So there's not really much for me or, you know, I would guess the rest of the league faithful watchers to be that upset about.
Interesting. Okay.
This is, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, plus who's not a Dwayne Wade fan? Like, who was not, you know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't make any sense.
You can ask Mr. Simmons about it. I'm pretty sure he's not a Wade fan.
Well, so is it weird? So for Heat fans, obviously, it's weird that Dwayne Wade, and it's been a couple of years almost now, but it's weird that Dwayne Wade's not playing for the Heat. How can you compare that to anything else? Was that strange from an outside, like, just seeing Wade, first of all, in a Bulls jersey, now he's in a Cavs jersey, he doesn't have the same number anymore. Is that like seeing Tim Duncan or Dirk play for somebody else?
Yeah, I think it definitely was, especially with the Bulls at first. I think this year less so because it's kind of worn off. But he was always supposed to be a lifer. I mean, it's more than just him, but it's also like Wade plus the combination of, you know, the Heat franchise just produces lifers. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like Udonis Haslam, like you right. always think of their mentality as to be like, I'm here. This is great. It's well run. It's a nice place. Like, I'm just going to stay here my entire career. And that's quite frankly what Wade always seemed like he was going to do. And I'm sure that this summer was upsetting since Miami was rumored to be in the mix for him. Yeah. I guess it's actually fall when he got his buyout from the Bulls. But, you know, Heat fans should know better than anyone that he's just a competitor. And I'm sure Wade just wants to be on the best team possible, especially suffering through, you know, being on that Bulls team last year. But it definitely doesn't mean he won't still end up in Miami. I don't know what you guys think about that, but I can't see anything else than him, you know, retiring there.
Well, I think that he'd end up in Miami at some point, right, David?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it seems like his destiny to do so. And you know, interestingly enough, he actually, I think, kind of analyzed the current roster situation and really said, look, I'm just not a good fit on the team as it's currently constructed. They've got a lot of depth there between Josh Richardson, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, who was re-signed this summer. Mm-hmm. So he just didn't necessarily think he was going to get as much playing time. And from what we've seen in Cleveland, it looks like he's going to be the starting two guard. So at the very least, he probably would have gotten more minutes on a title contender in Cleveland than he would have gotten in Miami, which seems somewhat weird, especially considering how the Heat's roster is currently constructed. But let's shift gears, because I know you've got a little bit of time here. But have you seen any of the first four preseason games for Miami?
So I've seen chunks, and I've definitely seen all the highlights. It's kind of tough for me to watch preseason games in duration just because some of the garbage time is brutal. But what really stuck out for me with Miami is I'm, like, very curious about what their starting lineup is going to be and what the rotation experiments will play out to be in the season. I think it's pretty, I think just the power forward spot is unclear right now, right? Is it like a consensus that Goran, Dean, Rodney, and Hassan are going to start?
Seems like it.
It seems, yeah. Rodney McGruder was the question mark for us just because he was the de facto starter last year, but mm-hmm. that was mostly due to injuries to Justice Winslow and guys just not really raising up the game the way that people had expected them. So he wound up getting he worked for it. He got the starting nod, but at the same time, he was always kind of overmatched just because he's undersized and, you know, fairly unproven having come from the D League at that point. So it looks like he's earned it again this year. And yes, the power forward spot seems to be the one up in the air. We would have thought it was a small forward spot. It looked like it was going to be either Magruder or Richardson, but it looks like Magruder's got it locked down. And as far as power forward is concerned, you know, we thought James Johnson was going to be the starter, but it looks like Kelly Olynyk has been the guy to go to in the last couple of games. And it seems like he's comfortable starting. It looks like Johnson is comfortable coming off the bench. So that might be the case going into the regular season, too.
Yeah, I almost think Olynyk should get the starting spot just because James Johnson has proven that he can do so much off the bench. Right. And I saw a quote, like, I think from their last preseason game that Spoelstra pointed out that Olynyk brings a different skill set. And I mean, he did open the Hornets game with a three-pointer. So yeah. I mean, he's, like, you know, good for spacing. And I know that they, like, really want to hammer home, like, being good at the three again this season, like they were after the All-Star break last year. But, you know, I don't know. Also, like, there's so much appeal with James Johnson, you know, last year him playing a little point forward. I think they both actually shoot the same or about the same from outside. You know, Johnson's major advantage, obviously, is defense. So it'll be interesting to see how the rotation pans out in that sense, because that's really not an argument for him to not come off the bench, because I think that really what the focus is not who's going to start, but who's going to finish the games.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, James Johnson, he's not had a good preseason. I'd be interested to see what that starting unit looks like with James Johnson in it when he's playing well, because he hasn't necessarily played well as a starter or off the bench. The one thing they are talking about a lot is the Johnson and Johnson combination with Tyler and James coming off the bench together. Mm-hmm. The Heat joke around all the time, the brothers Johnson and John. The chemistry, they might be brothers. Like, I know there's obvious reasons why they're not brothers, but it's the only way to explain that the chemistry that they have. It's James Johnson comes off the bench in that Hornets game with Tyler Johnson. They enter the game at the same time, and the offense immediately starts clicking just because of those two. They're passing the ball. They're anticipating each other's cuts and screens. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Obvious difference the height difference?
That's what I was taught. And just that James Johnson can grow a full beard and Tyler still comes in patchy. Obviously, they don't have the same beat.
And James has his full set of upper teeth as well, so there's a huge difference there.
Before we go on, let's talk about SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts used to be complicated, but it's 2017. Stop buying tickets like it's 2012. Use SeatGeek. They are the best, simplest way to buy the tickets for anything that you want to see. It's the smartest, easiest way to get the tickets to any live event. SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience lets you buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way that I've found to shop for tickets. I could be anywhere. And it's just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. No opening 100 browser tabs, no guessing whether or not you're getting the best value or not, nothing like that. SeatGeek streamlines the entire experience. It helps make the decision process easier than ever. They save you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on its value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. It takes all the guesswork out of it. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you could shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off of their first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do, download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LONBA, that's promo code LONBA, and you can get $20 off of your first SeatGeek purchase. If you're not using SeatGeek already, I don't know what you're doing.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, Sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
All right, Haley, your colleague at The Ringer, Jonathan Charks, he wrote his best case, worst case piece on the Heat. And in it, he said, the Heat used to convince stars to be role players. Now they are trying to turn role players into stars. Now, obviously, the Heat went after a star in Gordon Hayward. They went after a star last summer in Kevin Durant. They didn't get either of them.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think anybody on this team can turn one of these role players? Do you think any of them can turn into a star?
Well, first of all, I think that line about convincing stars to be role players and now turning role players into stars is like the perfect summation of this team. But also, I also highly recommend that everyone reads everything Charks writes, including the Heat piece. He's fantastic. Honestly, I can't see them turning into the stars that they've been chasing, which sounds like a bad thing for the team, but it really isn't. The identity of the Heat right now, and I think why they had such incredible chemistry that really translated last season, is because they are the underdog type. You know, the ones that are going to out-hustle you, out-compete you. And right now, that's their best chance at being a team who can upset one of the top-tier Eastern Conference teams. You know, outplaying the stars on a more top-heavy roster, because, you know, one advantage that the Heat have is that they have an incredible bench. And they also have, you know, they have guys like you just said, the brothers Johnson, who will come up and literally, like, that is a tough second unit. I mean, they will destroy you, you know, if that's the case. So I think it's just a matter for the Heat of figuring out what rotation works best for them and what works best against each team. But I can't see anybody breaking out and being, you know, the star that they've been chasing on this roster now.
Is there a feeling, maybe from the outsider perspective again, then that Miami is kind of stuck in the middle? I know that some people have been a little critical of Pat Riley in recent years, you know, because he keeps going after these stars. But, you know, it's a proven system that has worked for the 20-something years that he's been with this team. So, you know, there's also the Goran Dragic trade. A lot of people bringing up the fact that he probably gave up way too much in that trade acquisition. You know, he keeps going after Kevin Durant, Hayward, et cetera. Is this the bad model for building a team in today's day and age, in your opinion?
No, I don't think so at all. And I think that's actually specific to this franchise, because I know that Pat is playing into the strengths that, yes, he went after these superstars and it didn't work, but he has been in every conversation. The Heat have been in every one of these conversations. It's not like, you know, when the Blazers were trying to recruit Melo and he wouldn't even take their phone call. You know, like, everyone is going to listen if you're saying, come here and, you know, spend the year in Miami. So as long as you can keep playing that back and you'll be able to play that back until the end of time, I think that it's a perfectly fine recruiting tactic. And, you know, eventually it will work. It worked with LeBron and, you know, best player in the league. So there's no reason to think that it cannot work again.
Does Riley have, like, style points still outside of Miami? Because, you know, I don't know if you've heard. Yeah, I don't know if you've heard that the Godfather moniker a lot of people have attached to him, you know, Riley God, et cetera. He is beloved in South Florida for the most part, but outside of South Florida, I know people in New York probably still think of him as Pat the Rat, but I wonder, from your perspective, does Riley still have the kind of cachet? Is he still cool, you know?
Well, so I'm actually a graduate of the University of Louisville. Tough times for us right now.
Okay.
But our former, I hate to say it, but our former coach, Rick Pitino, always had the same, like, swagger about him. And so yes. I always
love
it.
Sign.
You know, I think it's great.
Yeah, not good.
What is a bad
bad comp. Abort.
Luckily for you, shoe deals are legal in the NBA. But, yeah, I think I have always loved that. And, you know, Pat, he's such a fierce competitor. Just some of the features you read and the quotes you hear from, you know, players he's tried to recruit. I can't help but admire that. I'm sure that I'm not alone in that either.
No.
Haley, you're writing something at The Ringer. It's called the Hype Concern Index.
yeah.
And we're going to play it really quickly, but it's all going to be about the Heat. So I'm going to go through a couple of things. All you got to do is tell me if you're hype or concerned, and you don't have to go at length. You could go as long as you want. But it's up to you. Ready?
Okay, let's go.
Justice Winslow's potential.
So I think that this would qualify under concern because people aren't really hyping him up right now. So what we do in hype concern is we qualify it as which one, and then we give it a ranking out of 10. So I would probably say that my concern from him is a 3.5 out of 10. I think he's fine. I think that there are a lot of times when these prospects get overhyped, you know, before the draft. And, you know, his defense is superb. And, it's like translating great. And he obviously has proven that he can get to the basket. He's an aggressive player. And, you know, outside shooting is something that can come. I'm not sure that it will ever be part of his game. But there are very successful defense guys who came into the league playing defense and then later on developed an offensive game. So I think that he has the work ethic, and I think that it kind of freaked him out last year, you know, hearing all the stories about himself and then also not getting to play and prove himself. So I think he's the kind of guy that's going to work to develop and kind of, you know, get people less worried about him on the offensive end. So I would give him a 3.5 out of 10 level of concern.
All right. Next one, Josh Richardson's four-year extension. Hyper concern, what level?
I'm actually pretty hyped about him. I think that he might be one of the guys that people paying attention to the Heat this year are, you know, end up more excited about. So I would give him, let's see, a 6.5 out of 10. And I've heard really good things about him in the few preseason games that he's been in. But you know, a lot of fun to watch. And also, I think that he's trying to also get people not so worried about his style of play. I've seen some quotes where he's saying, you know, I want to set other guys up, and I want that to be my role in this offense. So that's great.
So you gave him a 6.5 out of 10. Did his braids hurt or help that rating?
Always help.
There we go.
Always
see,
help.
David, you're against those.
I'm in the minority.
I know. I specifically asked that for that reason. all right. Concern or hype? Deion Waiters on a 4-year deal.
So this definitely goes into concern.
No.
It does. And, you know, it's not, the concern isn't really, you know, my opinion so much as what the outside opinion is. And then, you know, but you guys, I mean, this is a guy who everyone is, you know, there's a common cliche that when players get paid, then they stop hustling.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone could fall into that, it's Deion, who's been up and down his entire career.
Oh.
You know, at the Ringer that we love, Waiters Island,
sure.
Yes. I would call myself a resident. I love him. I think he's great. I think he showed amazing. I think he really adapted to this team really well last year. And I think, you know, it's such a shame that he got hurt, because I think that before, like what he was doing and the way that him and Goran were able to drive to the basket and dish it out and really space and shoot better from three than they usually had, I think that that was exceptional. And I'm hoping that that continues this year. But I do know that after guys get paid, you know, there's that common thing where everyone's worried about how they're going to perform. So I would say that he's slotted into concern. But I also think he's just a guy who, you know, is like a fanatic about the game. I don't think he's the kind of person who's going to like slump afterwards. So I would put him in the concern, but probably a 4 out of 10.
All right, last one. Hassan Whiteside Snapchat.
This is definitely hype. I love it. 10 out of 10. Actually, I might have to go 11 out of 10 for this. He's the best Snapchat follow I've ever had in my life. The parrot video where he was like investigating with CSI was hilarious. He's so funny. And I actually really love that we get to see that side of him too, because, you know, on the court, he's got a little bit of a persona. It's just nice to see him like be funny. I think it's great. I can't recommend following it enough. If you're listening to this podcast and you're not following it, then that's shocking.
It's worth getting a Snapchat just to follow Hassan Whiteside and Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade. I'll have to add those guys in there too.
Yes. Yeah, they're all good. Dwayne Wade's with LeBron right now are very funny, by the way. And his Instagram stories.
It's a beautiful thing.
So our last question before we let you go then, kind of wrapping everything up between, you know, Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson's hair, Hassan Whiteside Snapchat. What do you see from Miami this season? Where do they stack up in the Eastern Conference for you? And do you have a final prediction on what their record might be?
If they could run back what they had last year before Deion got hurt, and I think that that's really what everyone is worried won't happen, then they could become one of the most exciting teams in the East. It's a shallow pool to begin with. You know, a lot of people went to the West, a lot of stars did, but, you know, the Heat really had it figured out last season, and when gritty teams figure out how to be stoppers, it's just a matter of making the offense translate too. A lot of that with Miami has to do with shooting well outside. I think in Chark's piece, he points out that Dragic shot better from the three, Waiters shot better from the three, Johnson shot better from the three, all like better than they usually had after the All-Star break when everything started clicking and the team collectively shot more from outside. That can't be understated enough, especially in an offense where they really figured out how to get Deion and Dragic, like I said earlier, to drive inside and dish it out so well. I would really, really like to see Justice Winslow improve and become an integral part of this team, but even if he doesn't, this is a really deep bench, and it's something that will wear down teams.
All right.
So as far as their ceiling, so their floor, they're going to make it in the playoffs. If they don't, then that's a huge disappointment, and that would really, really shock me. But the ceiling is like, right now, they'd have to figure out what beating Boston, the Wizards, the Cavs looks like. And, you know, for as much joking as we do about the Eastern Conference being terrible, that's still really tough trying to beat those three teams, especially Boston, I think, this year. But their best chance is doubling down on what they were working with last season. And I think their best chance is hoping that they end up in a position where they can outwork their opponent in the playoffs.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, Haley, thanks for jumping on to the show. Can you tell our listeners where they could follow you, read you, etc.?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm warning you ahead of time. It's at Haley O something, H-A-L-E-Y O something. And you can find my work on theringer.com.
Absolutely. And that's all. Yep.
No warning necessary. She's a great follow and not bad for not a Heat fan either.
Oh, I forgot to ask you,
sorry,
Haley.
To drop that on you.
Speaking of Twitter, really quickly, how was that meatball sub with spaghetti bread?
Good Lord. If anyone is ever in LA, go to the Carving Board. They make a meatball sub where the bread is made out of spaghetti noodles mushed together. It was amazing. They give you marinara sauce. It took me like a couple hours to eat because it was like huge, but I cannot recommend it enough. It was wonderful.
Is that a fork and knife situation?
It was definitely a fork and knife situation. I think that if you're brave enough, it can be like a, you know, regular sandwich type deal, but I didn't have enough confidence in the situation. I was wearing a white shirt. I didn't want to risk it. So.
Bad choice. Yeah.
But thanks for having me on, guys. This was so much fun. And I'm really sorry I'm not a Heat fan.
It's okay. You're paying attention. We appreciate that. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Reminder to send your mailbag questions in to lockedonheat@gmail.com or tweet them using the hashtag AskLOHeat. You could subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, guys.
With the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.